Coffee Companion Podcast.
I've known Todd Larrabee since 2011. He's marketed a couple of products. He's extremely watchful about the industry as a whole. He can discuss his and his competitors' devices without ever seeming dismissive. That's a rare trait. While I don't know if he's really a coffee taste aficionado, he's consistently fair and knowledgeable. He's currently working in partnership with inventor wizard Joe Beam of Beemore. They are, in my opinion, one of coffee brewing's great power teams. When Todd told me he'd be in town with the new Beemore Connected coffee maker, I got pretty excited. He brought it to my house for a demo. This coffee maker seems to have everything at the moment. Best of all, it's able to be both complex and simple, as it has the capability to download its many settings directly from participating roasters. One thing the industry rarely does is combine extensive and simple. Let's hear more from Todd, which was recorded at my kitchen table as we sipped coffee from the Beemore Connected 12-cup brewer.
I'm here with Todd Larrabee of Beemore, and we just had a chance to sample the new Connected coffee maker. And I just wanted to just take a few minutes, and I'm so excited about this. I absolutely wanted to do a separate podcast segment just to talk about this new brewer. Because I'm so excited about the technology. So just fill me in. I know you've been talking to me about it offline, but let's talk about
So this is the new Beemore Brazen Connected. Yeah. It takes the Brazen Plus that's been out for a couple of years from Beemore and sort of, if you will, the easiest way to say it is takes the buttons off the front of the Brazen Plus and actually puts the controls onto a mobile phone. Wow. Could be either an iPhone or an Android, actually.
Oh, this is the phone. I'm reaching for it.
And it does more than just take the buttons off, because it now is going to allow you to do a lot of different things that we were talking about earlier of connectivity. So now you can sort of connect to roasters and mm-hmm. they can bring in their profiles of what they think the brewing should be based on the roast that they did. So, you know, this is where the debate will be interesting to see in the future of, you know, one roaster might roast the exact same beans and think that it's 200, another roaster could get those same beans, roast a little darker, and thinks it should be a 201. You're going to kind of get into the finesse of that roaster and his vision and his palate all the way to your mug now, which will be interesting.
And it takes it away from the concept that how your coffee maker shows up is really how you have to use it.
Right.
And let's face it, one of the reasons that the manual methods have emerged and certainly among hobbyists have become so popular is because it's that level of control.
Right.
And people have learned. I mean, I know people, there's little tweaks, you hear them called. The AeroPress, a lot of people claim the AeroPress really, they're people that brew at 180 degrees.
Right. And you hear they brew colder, correct? Right.
They let you play with it. It's really something you can do to your own taste. And meanwhile, what's great about this technology, as I understand it, is the roaster gets involved.
Right. We would love them to be, and they should be, because if you think of it, you were doing an analogy earlier, but it's like the last thing they should do is source the beans. You know, sometimes they even go to these faraway remote places to bring back the coffee and then roast it painstakingly and then wave goodbye and hope you brew it at home correctly. That's just like they kind of, you know, the other parts are important. But it seems like brewing is equally as important, yet they actually don't control it much at all. You know, they don't really have recommend a brewer, but, you know, this changes it now. If actually they, you know, could go to the point of recommending the brewer, because guess what? My brew profiles are inside here. You know, so you love my coffee. You believe in me. I'm your local roaster. Take your phone and brew with me, you know, if you will.
And we all know what it's like, those of us who are really into our coffee, to give somebody a gift. You know, it's common for me to, as a birthday gift or, you know, for a holiday, to hand somebody a pound of coffee, and then I'll go back a short time later, let's hope, and they have the coffee and they'll brew for me, and you know they're not doing it the
right.
way
they weren't that, as wowed but as they should have been by it, right?
Right. And that's it doesn't taste like it should. So let's see. Well, I'm gonna walk through this. I'm holding Wait, you just got this programmed into your phone? Okay.
So that's into an iPhone, but it would also work in an Android.
Okay, so if I have I have an iPhone right now, and it says number of cups, so I can choose my cups. And then I'm gonna choose 6 cups in this case.
So the nice thing of the cup, say you're about to brew a pot of coffee for you and your wife, and all of a sudden she gets a call, I got to go to work early, and you've already filled the water reservoir. Yeah. You could actually brew less coffee without having to scoop the water out of there because it'll only release that much. So if all of a sudden you change it down to 4, the only thing that you have to change is the amount of coffee you put in the grounds, which you could either not have ground yet or scoop a little bit of that, but you don't have to mess with the water up top. It'll only release the amount of water that you designated.
Okay, so I've chosen 6, and then I brew temperature. And let's say I've heard... George Hall has decided he wants to, he sent me a coffee and he said, Kevin, I absolutely insist that this coffee absolutely, it just comes alive at 202. It's Terrazu, you know. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, yeah. 202, and then I chose that. But he could do this online too and be uploading or downloading.
Rather. He's a classic case of the painstaking of his sourcing and roasting.
Everything.
And then actually, and would be, has the palate to control it all the way to your cup.
Right.
And has the fan base to me or the...
all these guys are this way.
Right.
They're all control freaks.
Right, right, right.
They're all artists. This is like the musician, this is like having Peter Townsend say, I want to come over and make sure your loudspeakers are
Well, it is.
Distance.
That's a good analogy because, you don't want to be played on some inferior brand speaker.
It's horrifying. I could tell you this as a television producer, how painstaking it was to be in an edit room, and we're so careful about the colors we choose for graphics and stuff. And once in a while, someone would rain on our parade by walking in and going, you know, everyone's got a TV monitor from Walmart. You know that that's the phase is off, meaning the hue. Now we get 15 seconds for the. It defaults apparently to pre-soak of 15 seconds.
Right. Well, right. The Plus, I thought defaults higher than that, but it's pretty easy to change that though.
It's real easy. Okay. I'm making it a minute.
It seems like that 45 to minute. That whole pre-soak bloom kind of needs education because no coffee makers, unless you're doing manual, you really don't even know pre-soak or bloom because they all just start and go and that's it. So this is kind of a new element even to drip coffee makers themselves.
And then it's got a warning: water added with a question mark and no or yes. And I think that's good. They have no first two because
right.
We've all done this, but it's much easier to do. Actually, it can happen. So it's good. It's a good safety feature. Okay. And I'm going to say no. And it says add water. Okay. Well, it won't let me go any further because we don't have water in there right now. But it's fantastic to see this. And then, of course, it starts it. And it also, you've got altitude adjustment. Now, tell me a little about that.
Right. That's, so it actually, it does a temperature calibration on it. So you could be at any elevation and it'll go up to boil and record the temperature that it's boiling at. But it'll actually go further than just a calibration of temperature because it'll also take into account the elevation. The old one, you would type in your elevation in the front of the Brazen Plus. This one, it actually captures your geographic location. So it automatically will then know your elevation. So when it's actually boiling and you're in Denver and it boils at 205 or somewhere thereabouts, it'll actually record that actually because of that elevation, you didn't get to 212. So now when you want to actually brew at 202, it adjusts itself only a couple degrees below 205. Whereas actually in any other coffee maker would adjust itself down. So if boiling was 205, every other coffee maker will adjust itself to almost be cooler than ideal extraction temperature. So
understood.
What's nice is, with the connected, it simplifies a lot, even that kind of stuff, which sounds so geeky to everybody because that's a Bmore patent pending, the kind of whole temperature calibration and altitude calibration. But now it does it for you. Before I had to kind of, honey, how high off sea level are we?
Let me point out how ungeeky it really is, though. Just for a moment, let's all pretend, and I'm looking over here, we're at my house, and let's say I've got a DCS oven. I don't know why I gave them a plug. I'm really having some problems with it. But anyway, but the point is, it doesn't matter what oven I have. I have an Amana. It's 300. What if I were to tell you that, you live in Denver? Let me tell you something. You really think you're cooking you're following the recipe at 300 degrees, but you're really not because you are not getting an accurate representation of what 300 degrees is supposed to do in right. baking. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a good analogy, yeah. correct.
So, I mean, it isn't geeky. There's not a person in the world who's going to do a Thanksgiving turkey this year that doesn't want that to be able to follow a recipe online and really know that that's what they're
well, and you'll see in baking out. Recipes sometimes an altitude elevation note somewhere in
adjustment.
There. Correct.
So again, it's only as geeky as that. It's only as geeky if you're someone who makes chocolate chip cookies and wants them to come out perfect. When you're making coffee, it's the same way.
It's exactly the same because the elevation is what you're taking into account for.
Yeah. So it's good that we have these features. Another thing, and I realize it's radio, so yeah, but I definitely using the flat bottom cupcake filter. We were talking about that. I mean, I understand this is not the only brewer in the market that has this, but certainly is a benefit. We used a paper filter rather today. It comes though with a gold filter.
Correct, a permanent filter. You can do either or, right?
To your person's.
But part of this though that choice. Makes the extraction sort of kind of, if you will, not pretty, but inside there where it's very even with mm-hmm. the extraction is, along with the flat filter, is that it has an oversized shower head that matches the circumference or diameter of that. Because right. if you look at it, it's the same footprint.
I'm not tilting it here. I realize the. You can't see this in the audience, but I will tell you, am I right? Is this larger than it was before?
I don't believe so. It's the same as a Brazen
really?
Plus. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you look, it's very similar circumference or to the surface area of the actual basket itself.
That's what's different. And I know people will justify and say, well, we've got a very narrow shower head, but it really doesn't matter because what happens is all the water eventually submerges all the grounds. Okay, but I guess the answer I would have to that, to designers who rationalize it that way, is I'm not sure that's really true, but I am sure of this. I'm sure there's no disadvantage to having a wider spread over it. And I'm compelled, anyway, I'm really asking, too. I mean, if someone really does believe that, I'm interested in why. But I think that generally, philosophically, I'm on the side of a wider shower head and I'm on the side of a flat bottom.
So the other thing that helps the extraction, too, is it pulses it. So the water hits and stops. So you actually even sort of get turbulence where it's sort of moving the grounds around a little bit, kind of because, it hits and stops and all that. So that even helps, too, which is what a pour-over does.
And that's, interesting, it does, and that is really what a pour-over has the advantage of the start and stop, that you interact, in effect, with the grounds. You let the water go through. But the other thing is that a very narrow, what's very popular right now is a gooseneck a kettle, and one of the things that I found about gooseneck kettles that I'm not as fond of is I think they reduce the turbulence a little bit. I think it makes it a gentler stream, so to speak, and it's got the flow restriction so that it doesn't give you that shower head. And I think there's potentially, anyone's really measured this yet. I haven't figured out a way to do it, but there's potentially a benefit to that kind of, to the sort of power washer action of a true shower head. Again, I think it's a benefit on the side of the shower head.
So the one thing we didn't talk about earlier also was that both the Brazen Plus and the Brazen Connected heats the water directly above the shower head.
Yeah.
So the travel time from the heated water to the shower head itself, this has got to be the shortest distance of any coffee maker out there.
No heat loss.
So correct. Besides the fact that it actually heated all the water first, and it's even maintaining the temperature of the water as it's coming down. So it's not like it heats the water, says, okay, it's brew time, heater, stop doing your thing. It maintains the heat kind of while it's even diffusing the water. So but the travel time, again, keeps the temperature accurate to a very short distance into the coffee bed.
Any other, some people who are going to be listening to this probably already have the Brazen Plus or the original. Is any other changes?
The Brazen Connected will have more adaptability to changes because there's a lot of things that are inside the guts of, let's say, the brazen that the app doesn't do yet. Like in the future, it will do a broader temperature, but it's only doing brazen plus temperatures now, 190 to 210. So it will actually do a broader temperature. You know, there's discussions, you're going to be able to adjust the pulse brewing. So if you want it to be on for 4 seconds, off for three, but so you could kind of really kind of, again, personalize it. Because that's what the other thing about connectivity, I guess, is personalization is going to be up to you. So if you wanted to really have this be a 30-minute brew because of how long you have the valve open and closed.
Correct.
Yeah. Those are all things in the future. And if customers, that feedback comes in saying, I really want to be able to control my valve to that level, the beauty is everything is already in there to do that. It's just actually the app, which is the easiest part of all this, would just need to be changed.
I'm going to make a prediction. And I may have predicted this before, so I'm sure I have in a bar or something. But is it the age of this coffee maker makes me think of this too? Is the age of manual coffee making being the end all could be replaced by this type of technology? Because eventually, and I'm going to use an analogy of anti-lock brakes. You know, when analog brakes, I'm sure when analog brakes first came out, which is probably before I was driving, is they were, had some problems. I'm sure they were a technology. I'm sure they were not perfect.
Right, right.
But I can tell you, I remember reading somewhere that Boeing actually did tests with their chief pilot, and they didn't employ analog brakes until their chief, they proved, the analog brake manufacturer proved, that their chief pilot and the analog brakes, and they landed a plane without analog brakes that the chief pilot was able to stop as quickly as he could. And then they had one with analog brakes. And the analog brakes one beat what the pilot could do with his best skill, their best pilot.
Wow.
That, I believe that that's when, I believe though, this type of technology is going to do that. And well, of course, one of the beauties of it, as with analog brakes, not only did you have the chief pilot, the chief pilot's someone who's had, you know, the experience
right.
and certainly you were the best barista in town type of thing. This means someone who's a consumer who's really light in their interest in wanting to, you know, figure out coffee brewing and become an adept barista at home, has the opportunity to get that same cup of coffee.
You know, that's the thing, is to sort of, this is either an automatic, I always look at this, this is either an automatic transmission, I set it 245 seconds, and that's what I brew every day, or I can go into manual transmission mode and start to shift and change when I want to. It could be either or to that person, because the thing about manual brew to me is people might love it, it's romantic, but they really only have time to do it on the weekend. They don't have time during the week. So there's no reason they couldn't get a good cup of coffee during the week. Because people can enjoy brewing coffee manually, that's awesome. But they, you know, to do it every day is tough. So if this can mimic that and still get a great cup of coffee during the week when you wait to brew or even wait just to heat a coffee, grind it quick and hit go and you've got coffee, you should be enjoying good coffee every day.
And what about the times when you, and this happens to me often, it didn't happen today because you were friends and you came here and you brought the machine. But one of the things that, I'll admit this, I have friends come over, we're talking about, we haven't seen for a while, we're talking about things and, that's right, I hit the wrong, you know, I did something wrong or I forgot, you know, I put too much water in and it just, I don't always want to focus on brewing.
Right.
Even I don't. And
sure.
I like brewing.
Right.
You know, but
right,
I like
right.
brewing manually.
Right.
But it's the rather mature for me. But sometimes, yeah. And the idea that, you know, I'm going to get an airplane, you know, a flight into 7 in the morning and I've got to get up at 5, you know, to get to the airfield. And I'll get up and, you know, I will try to use a Chemex and I can tell you sometimes sometimes I regret it. I say, what am I doing?
Right. Right. Well, I think you'll see the brazen travel case, almost like the Coleman lantern coming soon. So when you know, you can almost check it as luggage. that hard
TSA
case that comes
it.
On the Coleman
yeah,
lantern.
I know. What are they called? My flight cases.
All right.
Yeah. This is great. Well, it's, a pleasure. I do have one final question. When's the Be More Grinder
right.
coming out?
Oh, so it's certainly been discussed. we'd need to get Joe kind of to pin down exactly, but it won't be 2015, but I know it's on his radar
on,
to
Joe.
Do that.
Be a man. Get this out. Well, we've got a lot of coffee. We do have a number of good automatic coffee makers that are out.
Right.
I mean, I know it's...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got a favorite,
absolutely.
But I'm just saying, I do think we're living in a good age where there are some decent ones. Hey, you know, 5, 10 years ago, that wasn't the case.
5 years ago, even,
five
right.
years ago, it really yeah. wasn't. So here we are, and this is wonderful news. But we really could use more grinders, because for one thing, a grinder is another part of the facet that is incredibly important, and most consumers aren't even aware of that.
Right. So a couple of quick comments. One, you'll see kind of going into 2016. The ability, there'll probably be a glass craft, so you could brew teas in that. You know, they're experimenting with actually an insert inside this filter basket, so you could brew a single cup. Because sometimes you don't want to brew a whole batch. You'll lose temperature if it's just for you to go into a thermal craft and into a mug. So it'd be nice to actually kind of, so there may, you know, I actually have at home an insert for a single cup, which would be nice at some point to be able to have that level of temperature control, that level of pre-soak, that level of shower head, and then sort of go into a smaller cupcake. Oh. Actually, that then you could put your mug right underneath it and brew a hot cup of coffee right into your mug, travel mug, and go out the door.
No,
you didn't brew a whole batch.
What's the smallest amount that you would? Do you
that's
like
a good
six
question.
Ounce?
You could. You probably need more than that. I mean, okay. There's some level of turbulence and head pressure and things like that. I would say you're probably going to brew more than that. Most people, if you're going to brew, go to the trouble of brewing coffee. You know, it seems like most Americans are more in the 10-12 ounce, and the whole 4 or 5 ounces for a cup of coffee in the U.S. seems such a misnomer.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, like my politics, I'm usually a lone guy at the voting booth. I think this, let me tell you this. I mean, I was just in New York 2 weeks ago, and I was at Orin's, and they brought back the 6 ounce size.
Huh.
And they it's so brand new, because they were using unmarked cups, and I finally asked them, why didn't you brand your smalls? And they said, well, we just brought it back because the public really liked it.
So I'm
just throwing that out there.
But that's on the go, where you've already had 3 cups. Maybe I shouldn't have my fourth, or, you know, whatever the scenario. I would think if you're going to go the trouble of brewing your house, I would argue they probably will brew a little more. But this is, you know, small batch.
Keurig has proved me right. Keurig does a 6 ounce.
Right. I was going to say for Keurig, that's about the right match of dosage to water.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, you and Joe, you know, are the guys who should put it out, and I'm sure either way I'll end up using it, but I definitely would vote for something that would
brew that small.
Yeah. Todd, it's great to, as always, to see you.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
Keep drinking great coffee. I'm Kevin Sinnott, Coffee Companion Podcast, coffeecompanion.com, and coffee-con.com. Talk to you soon.